Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
As the conflict involving Iran, Israel, the United States continues to unfold, divisions within the West have become increasingly visible, not just at a government level, but across media, across academia, and public discourse. Some of these commentators are arguing that ideological trends, often broadly described as woke, have influenced how part of the West interpret the conflict. And it's actually become very, very interesting because people have found themselves, woke people, suddenly find themselves supporting a brutal, murderous, misogynistic regime simply because that is where their ideology took them. It is a very, very strange thing, and we wanted to understand a little bit more about this division, if it is ideological or if there is something else that it might be that the cause. Joining us to unpack this is Daniel Jacoby, who is the COO of the Israel Chamber of Commerce. Daniel, a very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. Can we just start with an understanding of what woke ideology is in this context?
Howard, good morning. Good morning to your listeners. Thank you for having me. It's quite simple to explain, in fact, as you must appreciate that there is a progressive elite that going against the U.S. and Israel campaign now in Iran, and they calling us aggressive imperialism. So they looking at how we, in fact, those who are holding the values of Western democracy so dear to us, of expression, freedom of religion, freedom of movement, freedom of association. Are we holding those values so dear and fighting for those values? We are now becoming the oppressor. So I think this is what I meant in my piece that I wrote about the woke. You know, they're siding this is basically how I see it, and it's quite frightening because those we call them woke activists are siding with extremist Islamic ideology that goes against the values that they're holding so dear, of freedom of association, of expression, of speech, as we said. So it's very crazy to see it.
Is there any ability to introspect from obviously we're speaking about a group, so obviously there's individuals and there's nuance, but I found it so fascinating that somebody could find themselves being critical of the United States and Israel and almost siding with a regime that has made no secret of its brutality and the deprivation that it has inflicted on its people with regard to the rights that you have mentioned. Surely that should be a turning point, or that should be a line that should encourage people to say, hold on a minute, what on earth is going on here with my own ideology?
Yeah. So I've been actually sleeping and reading about it quite some time, about the oppressor versus the oppressed. And imagine that you have a gay community that goes against their government and their leadership and saying, you are conservative and we are democratic. We are holding, you know, our values so dear, and you are pressing us not to live to our identity. And now they see the same conservatives, I think the Trump administration goes against the Islamic regime, so they are piggyback on that and going against the conservative parties globally, not only in the US, you can see it also in Europe. So in a way, they're looking for a cause to piggyback, to go against the people in power at the moment.
So in other words, it actually doesn't matter who, what that opportunity is, as long as it's an opportunity to focus on going against, for example, a Donald Trump, a conservative, a more conservative approach. So it doesn't really matter to them what the basis is, as long as it's an opportunity. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, exactly. Yes, it's an opportunity for them to go against those who they're not in favor of keeping themselves in power.
It's really absolutely breathtaking to think about this, because of course Iran, we know, has been accused of supporting proxy terror groups, repression internally. Why would, for example, gay rights activists, women's movements, why would they have been silent until the point that the United States gets involved?
Oh, it's quite simple, because they hate Trump, they hate his administration for what they're standing for. You know, they think Pete Hegseth quoting from Psalms when he's going to war, you know, he sees it as a just war to free the people of Iran. And it goes against their values. They don't see how we need to hold the values for our Western democracy. So they're coming all the way from the foundation of the Bible. As you can see, the leaders of the world, and when they're sworn into duty, into position, they're putting their hand on the Bible and one hand on the heart. And those wokists goes against those values. So I almost will say to you that from my observation, and again, this is only my observation.
Sure.
It's either you are holding the Bible as foundation of your family, as your nuclear family, as your community, as your society, or you goes against it. And everything that goes against what you have in your viewpoint, it is, you have to push back on it. So if it is a cause that the Islamic regime now been attacked by the US, you piggyback on that, and then you go against the US. You go against those leaders that holding those values so dear to them.
Why do you think
exactly opposite for what you see?
Right.
Is their viewpoint.
So why do you think it is that there's an understanding and acceptance of other people's religion? The woke crowd would never bring itself to criticize anything with regard to Islam. They're very respectful of mosques, of tradition. But when it comes to Judeo-Christian values, they are highly critical and, or at best, very dismissive. It's almost that there is a much, much greater understanding and acceptance for somebody else's religion than that where they come from.
Howard, have you ever heard the phrase that money makes the world go around?
Yes, I'm sure.
And the amount of funds that been channeled into different causes, foundations, organizations to establish that ideology, to indoctrinate those youth movements with propaganda, has been done over the past 20 to 30 years. We've been just, and I'm speaking about myself and, you know, our counterparts, been sleeping on the sidelines, not noticing what the Qatari money and Iranian money has been put into work for 3 decades. And this is the outcome, what we're seeing now, it's the outcome of that ideology, of that propaganda. And we can see it over here at our home in South Africa. You know, the BDS was established in 2001 here in South Africa. We're seeing that the pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel, I won't say even pro-Palestine, but anti-Israel lobby have been so strong that captured the foreign policy of South Africa through the ANC party. And we're seeing it in our own home. You know, that's the result of money that been put into work to promote propaganda and ideology that serves their narrative, serves their agenda, and goes against our family values, our community, and our society.
How has...
I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, but it's still interesting because it's still a fascinating thing that a woke ideology is one thing, but how has the Islamists or the jihadists managed to capture, in a way, the woke movement? Is it all simply about money?
I think money is the engine that fueling that propaganda and indoctrinating the youth that we as Israel and now the Trump administration are aggressive imperialism. This is the campaign that they're going against us. They projecting that Israel and the U.S. now against Iran, or even when Israel stood to defend itself against Hamas in Gaza, we are being called as aggressive imperialism, a colonialist entity.
Right.
And this is the propaganda.
So looking ahead, do you see these divisions deepening, or is there a possibility that because of the absurdity of the position in which this ideology has found itself, that this could be a turning point?
It's a good question. I genuinely believe that to fight with radical, you need to be radical. And I can't see really a positive change in the near future. I think we have for some tough time, but we have to stay strong. You know, we have to build our communities and our alliance based on our shared values. And it's a numbers game. So if we can increase our numbers and our voices, I think we can maybe win it here at home.
Let's hope that is the case. That is where we do need to leave it. Daniel Jacoby, COO at Israel Chamber of Commerce, talking to us about a woke ideology, the influence that it has had on the West, how it has successfully fractured the way in which our society sees itself and others.